We're going to open our Bibles this evening, and God willing, we're going to close out this 2 Corinthians study. And I trust that it's been a blessing to you. I hope that the Lord has continued to encourage you through this. And I know that, again, He's continued to just expand His wondrous grace and faith in my life. I'm so thankful that the Word of God never returns void, that when we truly have communion so precious in the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what God can do. It has to be spiritually discerned. I'm confident in Him that He's working. And again, just so grateful for this study. But tonight, as we get into this 13th chapter here in 2 Corinthians, this is Paul professing the power of his ministry. And the power of his ministry that we'll see is the very power of God. And it's so precious, and we spoke about this on Sunday, is to realize that Jesus Christ, He lived that life for us and continues to be dependent upon the very power of His Father. It excites me. I'm telling you, it truly does. It kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck to think that, Lord, You've gone through this, You've shown me, and this is the very power of God, and You have it for me. And hallelujah, in Christ, I have access to that power, praise God, in this new creation that He's given me. And you sit there and you think, oh, yes, you have it. If you're a child of the King, you have it. And praise God again that He's opening this up to us and this invitation into the very power of His might. So here in the 13th chapter, first verse, let's get going. It says, this is the third time I am coming to you. Now, this is important here, even this third time, because we read that again back in chapter 12, verse 14, where he says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. This brother was persistent in the Lord. The Lord had encouraged him. And again, in this study, you just think of the rejection that he faced, the ridicule that he faced. You know, these were not easy people. They were a tough crowd. And they, a lot of times, didn't want to have anything to do with the truth. Now, he wasn't going to force it upon them, but this was the way the Lord was leading. As we read about Brother Paul in the past, there were towns and cities he passed by. But the Lord had divinely directed him to give the Word of God to these people. There were people there that would receive this message, and this message that would have the deepest things of the Lord in it. But he knew that this correction needed to happen in this church. And this correction, brothers and sisters, is still going on today. We are still needing the correction of the Lord. We still need this wondrous dependence upon His grace. And it's His grace alone that continues to correct us as we yield to it. It will bring that wonderful conviction, correction in our life in order to serve and to worship Him acceptably. Praise God. So it says again, this is the third time I am coming to you. So personal. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And this two or three witnesses is from Deuteronomy 19:15. And that's where the Lord was laying out the same thing with the law that would govern His people. When they would go to court, when they would accuse one another of different things, it always had to be in the witness of two or three. Now, this again is just speaking that this thing is established because the very witness of this, as we'll find out, even as his inference in the end here, is the Trinity. It's the Godhead. It's the greatest of witnesses there could ever be. Praise the Lord. His word was tried and tried in fire. And praise God, it is the truth. And nothing can stand against it. And it does have sufficient witness here with Paul that this word of God that he preached to them is true. Now in verse 2, I told you before, he says here, and I foretell you as if I were present. And I think that's such a wondrous thing, as if I were present. When we read the Word of God, I would hope that we would be present in that message. It's important, brothers and sisters. I would hope that we embrace this as our family. Paul is the closest of my brothers. I would hope that Brother Paul is the closest of your brothers. That when the Holy Spirit used that vessel to speak, he's speaking now. Praise God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that word goes out, and it needs to be that intimate to us, as if it was just being preached that first time, that first moment. It is hitting and taking my heart and embracing me with it, that it is present with you. It is present with me. Praise God. It's right there for me. And I really believe that is such a vital way to receive the things of God. Now, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other. Now, he's saying here in this verse, I'm writing heretofore to those who have sinned and to all other. And what he's speaking here of those who have sinned are the ones that have still not come out. With all of the letters, the first letter that we read, 1 Corinthians, the second letter, 2 Corinthians. And then there's also the inference that there were other letters that he had written to this church. There are still ones that are not coming out. And actually, if you read that word or look up that word sinned in the Greek, it means to miss the mark. And that is the definition or interpretation of that word. It means to miss the mark. And you think about how this the Lord had encouraged through the Holy Spirit Brother Paul to bring to them a message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's all over this wonderful 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but how much so there in the 15th chapter of the 1st Corinthians there, where it talks about one star differeth from another in glory. Every man in his own order. Praise be to God. He was giving them the beginnings of that wondrous mystery that is obviously the pinnacle of it is there in Ephesians and in Philippians. But praise God, he wanted these people to receive God's very best. God's very best. And again, you think of the disorder. And it was a great disorder of these Corinthians. I want us to go back a little bit and to think what he was addressing at the very first. And there were just there were many, but I think there's really five specific things here. The first was the flesh. They were so fleshly, weren't they? These were people that were marrying their own mother. Now, let's not get too far detached. I know that was weeks ago we read this stuff. But these were some pretty sick folk. They had a lot of problems going on. And their flesh was always in the way. And remember their motto, meat was for the belly and the belly for meat? All things are lawful. That's exactly what they said. They were trying to justify therein, justify whatever they were going to do. And there's many Christians that live like that today. I know there's none here. But often we try to justify why we're doing something. Try to find in the Word of God that one verse that's going to refute all of the things that you know you're being convicted in your heart. And you have to take that verse out of context and turn it around. And then you're still all mixed up, aren't you? It's the truth. And that's exactly what these folks were doing. All things are lawful, Brother Paul said, yes. But all things are not expedient. That means they're not all profitable. Do you remember that? Sure, I know that the grace of God, the love of God, it covers a multitude of sin. I know that He's separated my sin. He's from my sin, as far as the east is from the west. My sins are in the sea of forgetfulness. Praise be to God. But I do understand that even though I am absolutely free, there's a wondrous growth that God has for me in living for Him. Christ living in me that causes me, by the grace of God, to live for Him. Again, we talk about it, and I think it's so simple, brothers and sisters. As again, I go back to the upbringing that the Lord allowed for me to have in my life. It wasn't a life of, well, don't do that, and you have to do this, and you can't listen to that kind of stuff, and oh my, it would be awful if you saw that. I don't know where that one would ever end. My mother said, fall in love with Jesus, son. Fall in love with Jesus, and He'll take out the things that don't need to be there. He'll convict you. And you know what? She's absolutely right. He'll give you a tender heart. As you fall in love with Jesus, He'll give you a tender heart. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you'll always do the right thing. But I'll tell you one thing. When you fall in love with Him, it'll hurt you when you go the wrong way. It will hurt. Your life will not set right. You may get angry toward someone. You may, again, say something just awful to somebody. But you know what? You won't just be callous about it. God will convict you. And there will be a remorse. There will be godly sorrow that sets in. And you'll want to go to that person and make amends. Sure, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And seeing, knowing that word, I know where the problem really was. It wasn't with that person. It all started right here. And Lord, I'm understanding that You're trying my faith. And by the grace of God, it's not just, well, let's count to 10 before I respond. No, let's get the Spirit of the Lord that we can respond in love. How many times over and over was Paul challenged here? You talk about it. And in the things of God. And yes, he stood and withstood by the grace of God. And there was a lot of correction going on. But it was always in love. It was always in love. It wasn't something to be harsh to try to defeat somebody. It was always, as we'll read tonight, for edification. To promote spiritual growth. And brothers and sisters, that's one thing I really do encourage this meeting to be about. Is promoting spiritual growth. And it comes in so many different ways. But one of the greatest ways it comes, live a testimony. Live what you know. Live the love of God. Don't just come to church on Sunday and, as Brother Hill used to say so many times, growing in all of this knowledge, but yet we become a sea, but we never give out any of the wonderful love or Word of God. We become the Dead Sea. Let's seek to become a Sea of Galilee, where we're receiving this wondrous truth, where we are receiving this wondrous Word of God. But praise be to God, it doesn't just gush in, it gushes out. And that's truly, I believe, what was so evident in Brother Paul's life. And again, that high calling saint. But going on, first of all, it said, we were talking about that they lived this fleshly life. You think about that. That all things, again, were lawful, but not all things expedient. The next thing Brother Paul started dealing with was their carnality, their legalism. Remember when they were taking the communion? And they'd walk around and see who was better and examining each other. And then their communion turned into the love feast. Remember what a fiasco that was? When you gather yourselves together, let's be about the things of the Lord. It can get out of hand real fast. And it really can. I know a lot of people that will use the excuse, well, we're getting together. Well, what are you getting together for? Don't get together to gossip. That can be a big thing. I'm telling you. Devil loves to use that kind of stuff. Get together for edification. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. The enemy wants to try to get in any way he can. But then think about their carnal use of the spiritual gifts. They were magnifying the gifts instead of magnifying the gospel. How quickly, as the Holy Spirit came into their lives and they received that infilling, and how wondrous it was. And how wondrous it is. But how many times do we again start yielding to flesh, and here comes the strange fire? You know what I'm talking about. There's many today that are one of the big attractions. Well, let's find the gift that you have. Leave that to the Lord. You seek Him, He'll show it to you. And you got the greatest gift of all. And we've been celebrating Him as a nation in some respects. You got Jesus Christ. And you just keep yielding to that. And yielding to that wondrous gift, that Lord. And the Holy Spirit will show you. But see, they got out of whack with that. And then they started heaping to themselves, as we've been reading about the last three chapters here, all these preachers. Remember, they brought in all of these different speakers, and they were getting so many different speakers. They were so eloquent in speech. They were papered, as they said. They had letters of commendation. Think of it as maybe they came from the big seminaries. They were in the big study halls. And they asked Paul where his were. And I could hear him giving the same answer as Brother Hill. Well, I went to Brush College. Remember when he'd say that all the time? And they'd say, well, where is that? And he says, well, it's out in the sticks. That's where you're going to know the Lord. Amen. He's got to take you out there. And there's a lot of different places full of sticks. Just let him take you there. Huh? Amen. See, I love Paul because he said he was called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ. See, Jesus called him. He didn't get a call because one of these people saw him and, oh, you're just so smart, or you're so righteous, or you have so much ability. No, Jesus called the chief of sinners. He called the chief of sinners. And praise God, the grace of God worked in him. And we've been reading how he was transformed to the chief of apostles. All right? See, we still have hope. So let's know that, again, this is God speaking to us. And then finally, we read last week about there in chapter 12, verse 20. Remember what Paul was saying, I fear lest when I come again to you, it says in that 20th verse of the 12th chapter, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates and envyings and wraths and strifes and backbiting and whispering and swellings and tumults, and on and on and on. Basically, a bunch of divisions, which he did speak about at the very beginning. But this was the thing that was starting to attack. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, in my experience over these years in watching and observing the different grace meetings that the Lord has allowed me to see and to understand the different things that they've gone through, the most lethal thing to grace meetings are these divisions, these disputings. Well, I can't believe Brother so-and-so's preaching. Well, I know more than he does. I forgot more than he knew, actually. Now, I'm telling you, that's how people start to get. And they start thinking of these things. And then they have their little groups. And then they start getting into debating about things, as it says here. And then the backbiting starts coming. And then the whispering start happening. We're going to read at the very end of this chapter, Lord willing, tonight, the unity. That unity. And brothers and sisters, I believe God has called us into that unity. It's precious. There is a power in that, and you know that. It's absolutely intangible, but it's the most real thing I think the Lord has shown me to date, is that unity in His Spirit, the body that He has made us, to when we truly submit to how tightly compacted we really are. It's an amazing thing. We are part one of another in Him. There's nobody closer to us than our family of God, and especially our family of like precious faith. Know the treasure in the ones around you in these pews. Praise God. I believe by His grace we are being called and drawn to the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I think that's an amazing thing. I know it is. The precious Lord tells us it's the high calling. It's the event of the ages. All of creation is groaning for the manifestation of these mature sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? And just think, and He has allowed you to know that. Praise God. But see, these ones were usurping authority instead of allowing God to make the choice. And whenever that happens, whether it's in your home or especially in a meeting, it'll destroy it. And it will. It will destroy it. So, by the grace of God, again, He's coming into them and telling them, brothers, beware. You have so much potential. You have so much potential. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. Don't go getting into your philosophy minds. Don't try to be outthinking God. I'm going to tell you, just be still and know that He's here and that He's for you. And then he goes on to say in that second verse, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. See, Brother Paul said, I'm not going to hold back a thing. I love you. I am going to tell you. Brothers and sisters, let's stand in defense of the gospel. By the grace of God, be bold. We're in a time of Christianity where it is good God, good devil, good everybody. And we've heard that for years. It is so here. Nobody wants to offend anyone. I'm not trying to offend you. But by the grace of God, if you'll stand in defense of that gospel, you will offend people. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the greatest thing that you could ever give anybody. If you truly love someone, you will give them the Word of God. It will just be there. Now, you'll give it truth in love. See, that's what allows us to grow up into Him in all things. Not just, I've had people come out, I've seen it. I've had it come to me with truth. But there was no love in it. And it was just like getting hit all over the head with something. I want something that penetrates you. I want something that penetrates your heart that'll make that change. By the grace of God, that's truth in love. That's the package that, praise God, that Jesus Christ came and intended for us to have in Him. All right. Verse 3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Now, you think of all of the proofs that He had given them. Isn't that a shame at the end? Well, give us a proof. Oh. That'd discourage you, brothers and sisters. It really would. But these were babes. Remember He said, I fed you with milk. I desire to give you meat. But man, there's no way you could handle it. I don't even think you got your set of teeth in. You might not even have your front teeth in yet. We got to just keep you on milk. Grow up. All throughout the Word of God, and especially in Paul and his wonderful epistles, the whole thing is grow up. Live your means in Christ. Praise God. Live your means. Don't live below your means in Christ. Never do that. Just live to the means that He's given you. And they're so abundant. Praise God in Him. But He says here, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. See, it wasn't Paul speaking. It was Christ speaking in him. Which to you word is not weak. Remember, they're talking about the weakness here is because Brother Paul was not a strong man. He wasn't a man that was physically, in a sense, not physically good looking. He wasn't the most eloquent speaker. He didn't have all of these different things going for him that they were looking at all of these different papered ones. But see, that's what the carnal will always go after. It's always going to go after what we see on the outside of someone. Where does God look? He looks on the heart. That's how I believe Him. I say, Lord, I want You to cause this life to be as Brother David after God's own heart. And I know I'll be in the right place with that. Praise God. I don't look to see what's on the outside. There's been times I've been challenged with the enemy and saying, well, if you did this or you had that or whatever. And the Lord just says, son, just be still. And it's so wonderful. He's the one that validates us. Says, Brother Paul, over and over and over, I don't need anything or anyone to validate me except Jesus Christ. I don't want to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, if I know that, I've got something. I've got something by the grace of God I can give out. Because that's the very love of God. That's where everything was done. That's everything was finished there. And praise God, we have everything upon that cross, that wondrous work. And we need to know that and rest in that. So it said, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. And here's why it is mighty in you guys. For though He was crucified through weakness, this is verse 4. For though He was crucified through weakness. Now remember, when we see Jesus Christ, it says, behold the Lamb. We're going to see Him as the Lamb slain. Isn't that wonderful? You want to see Jesus as the Lamb slain. You don't want to see Him pictured there like they're going to see Him with feet of brass, with fire in His eyes. No. Praise God. I'm going to see Him as the Lamb slain. Because I believe, praise God, that He died for me. And that's how I see this sweetness. And praise God, it was through, He was crucified through weakness. Again, He was completely dependent upon the Father. Yet He liveth by the power of God. Now, I challenge you, is there anything more powerful than God? Well, no. He just spoke these things or thought these things and then they appear. Isn't that amazing? And again, as our scientists for years and years said, everything has to increase at a decreasing rate. That's a huge thing. It was a law of, of mathematics and physics and all of that. And for years, that was the premise until they could start to peer out into the universe. And they found out, well, I knew I am. Where I am is increasing things at an increasing rate. Praise God. They can't even imagine how immense and how fast it is going and how it is ever increasing. And that's why they have to agree, all of them. It has to be some type of intelligent design. Well, unfortunately for you, intelligent design is not going to get it. It was simplified for dummies like us. And that's something. Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Just Jesus. Praise God. And in that, I have it all. But yet He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him. Isn't that wonderful that we can claim that weakness in Him? And this is what He was talking about back there in chapter 12, verse 9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. See, that's our sufficiency. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the strength of God. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This same power of God that works in our Lord. And He's so sweetly telling us is that we also are weak in Him. Praise God, that is the Christ-like. I don't seek to be powerful in this world. If the Lord allows you to increase, I plead with you, truly. Because I have seen Christians where the Lord has allowed them to increase. Well, then they become something they think. Allow the Lord to work in you. To say, sure, Lord, but it's all yours. I told you a story in my own life. I thank the Lord. I'd always made good grades. And I knew that the Lord had given me, and I thank the Lord, so many examples, my parents, grandparents, of people that really worked hard. That it wasn't given to you. You had to go out and work for it. There's an honor in that. Isn't there a wonderful honor in whatsoever you do heartily unto the Lord? Isn't that wonderful? We know that. But there will always be those that, and I don't know whether they really intentionally meant it or whatever, but I know that God, there's no accidents to things that are said to me in my life. But I had worked hard and I knew it. And there were some people that were close to me and they said, well, you know what, you were given everything. And boy, I tell you, that really burnt me. It did. It bothered me. You don't know a thing. You don't know how hard I worked. You don't know. And I was by myself doing that, and I stopped and I got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. You gave me everything. You gave me everything. You gave me a desire to work hard. You gave me a mind that might be able to understand a few things. Everything I have is yours. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord brought that to me so specially. It was such a, you talk about a gift. Because we do need to see it, praise God, in weakness. If we're not seeing our lives in that weakness, we've missed it. And I'm talking about every single part of our life. And you'd think how the world would look at something like that. They'd say, well, that's okay. You did work hard for that. Know where it came from. Know who gave it to you. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve a thing. But glory be to God. If He gives you a gift for something, use it for the Lord. Use it for the Lord. What a wondrous thing. So again, we just commit it to God. So, moving along. He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, But we shall live with Him. Isn't this wonderful? We're weak with Him. So that's wonderful. I understand that I'm weak. So Lord, I'm so weak, you know what? I'm going to live with You. I'm living with Him. See, Paul understood that. He said, okay, Lord, praise God, You've weakened me. I'm not going to get away from You. I'm weak. I need care. I need help. I need a throne room, don't I? Come boldly. Here we go. I'm accepting this. Now, where am I going to get strength? Where am I going to get this mercy? Where am I going to get this grace? I live with Him. Live with Jesus. There's a difference. It's a huge difference. You can just know Him. And it's wonderful to know Him. I'm not making light of that. It's wonderful to know the Lord as Savior. It's wonderful to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But Paul's talking about something really precious here. If you want power, you live with Him. You live with Him. You dwell with Him. You abide with Him. Every moment. Remember that death. Every moment. Praise God, what You did for me upon that cross, Lord. That, praise God, when I believed in You, that wonderful baptism tank that we have back here, that, Lord, that wonderful significance, that I died with You. Praise the Lord. And now I live with You. And praise God, I'm living with You in here by the power of God. And again, it even goes further in Brother Paul's life. It's not just for himself, but it's toward these people. What a testimony. What a testimony of love. So now, in verse 5, he comes back and he answers the question here that they asked him in verse 3, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. He says, examine yourself. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. And what he's saying there is that if you examine yourself whether ye be in the faith, and if ye answer yes, then my ministry was true. Because the only ministering of the things of God that you ever really got was from me. So you've just answered the question that Christ was speaking in me. And brothers and sisters, that goes to the highest of levels, and I hope goes to the deepest of our hearts. Examine yourself tonight whether you be in the faith. The benchmark for everything is not works. It's not. It's faith. It's faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith comes one way, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As Brother Paul spoke there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last thing he said before he talks about that crown of righteousness that he's going to receive, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. It's all in that faith. Hebrews chapter 11, isn't it wonderful? All of those Hall of Fame worthies. Why were they worthy? Faith. It's faith. So tonight, brothers and sisters, may we examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Don't be caught up. And Brother Paul is talking to these ones. Don't be caught up in things of your mind. Don't try to reason this world out. That's where the masses are going today. My wife was able to speak with a woman today and it hurt her heart. We've witnessed to that family. But they've wound up in a religious thing that, again, well, everyone's accepted there. Well, everyone's accepted here in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. It's in no other name. It must be in that name. And brothers and sisters, we are growing. I'm telling you, this body of all Christianity, it's sick in a lot of ways. It's weak. Not in Christ, but it's because of the leaven that they're putting into their bodies. It leavens the whole lump. And it is as Brother Paul said, who hath bewitched you? And there's a bewitching going on. It's a trickery. It sounds good to the ear that there's got to be many ways. Well, what about those people over here? And what about those people over there? Let me tell you something. He reveals Himself in nature. And I know this God that tells me I would that all men be saved. He was serious. And when He gave His Son, He said He gave His Son to the world. And that was for all mankind. Absolutely. And all we needed to do was believe. Believe. So, in that, brothers and sisters, examine yourself. Remember, it didn't say, examine the back area of the pews. Examine the ones that don't come often. No, examine yourself. Yourself. Whether ye be in the faith. So important. Prove your own selves. Praise the Lord. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. And reprobates means that Jesus Christ would not be in them. Paul, it was evident in that testimony that Jesus Christ not only was in that brother, He was thriving in that wonderful life. That vessel was professing and magnifying the wonderful glory and grace of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now verse 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Now, these folks did a lot of evil. So why is he saying, I pray that you don't do any evil? Specifically, what he's referring here to is verses 20 and 21, which we went back and read of chapter 12 there. And here's what he's talking about, that evil. And listen to this. Not that we should appear approved. Paul wasn't speaking of himself. See, there were so many that were speaking a lot of things. They wanted these people to be like them or to be a certain way so it would magnify that minister or that speaker. Oh, look what he taught me. Oh, look at how brother so-and-so spoke all these messages all these years and that he changed me. No. He wasn't speaking about that at all. And notice what he's saying here. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Do it to honor the gospel. Live a testimony. Praise God. Don't just talk about things. Walk the walk. Absolutely. Christ Jesus living in me. Not just something that I know, but something that I live. There's a difference, and we all know it. And praise God, that's what this brother was so after. I think these Corinthians were very, very intelligent people. I think these Corinthians were taking a lot of these things that Paul had said, and they were pondering these things. They were talking about them. But pondering and talking is a lot different than cherishing and living it. And this is what he wanted so desperately for their lives. He knew that this had to be something that was real, something that was the most precious thing to them, that they would turn to this. And it wasn't for Paul's honor or Paul's glory. It was to the glorious gospel that he was speaking of here. And he goes on in verse 8 and he says, for we can do nothing against the truth. Know that. You can't do anything against the truth. But for the truth. Turn to Proverbs 21:30. That's a sweet verse. That's Proverbs 21:30. And it says there, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Now I see a lot of committees against the Lord today. I see a lot of religions against the Lord today. I see a lot of these cerebral scientists against the Lord today. But you know what? None of that can be against the Lord. Isn't that something? They try. But there's no wisdom. There's no understanding. There's no counsel against the Lord. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. You ever heard of a non-event? A sweet Jewish man, his name's Art Schimmel. And he was the one that explained to me and told me that most things in life are just a non-event. And I didn't realize how true it really was. Because all of man's wisdom and counsel and understanding is basically a non-event. We can only do for the truth. I told you that the Lord has had me thinking about Abram. And I've been studying there in Genesis quite a bit lately. Turn with me to the 12th chapter. I think you'll enjoy this. The 12th chapter of Genesis. And we'll begin reading from the first verse. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now you think, here's the word of God. This is the truth. And praise God, he was going with it. He was part of that plan. He was part of the will of God. And when we're part of that plan, when we're in that wonderful word and will of God, we will be a blessing. We will be for the truth, and that truth will be for us. Praise God. We will enter into that blessing. See, I think about people that always really have a zeal for God. And they want to do something for the Lord. I just feel like I'm being so underused. Be still. Be still. Lord, show me that. Just be still. And you know what? See, I kind of went the other way. Because I saw, you know, being a grandson of Brother Hill, I saw a lot of that stuff. And I will tell you honestly, I appreciated it. And I appreciated that the Lord had spared me for 40 years that way. And I mean that in all sincerity, but in all honor and respect as well too. That wasn't something that I naturally wanted, wasn't. And that's the truth. I often joke when the Lord really had called me into the ministry, in a lot of ways I was in Mexico. And I kidded with the Lord, I didn't go far enough south. Shame on me, huh? But see, that's what the Lord's dealing with here. Okay? Are you going to get real with what the Lord's dealing with in you? Okay? I don't mean to scare you. But don't put your confidence in man whose breath's in his nostril. Let God do it. And it's an amazing thing what he can do. And praise the Lord. But see, in that, we can be a blessing. And I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed my life. But in blessing my life, honestly, it'll bless others. And we just received that blessing. And that's being for the truth. But look at verse 3 there in chapter 12. And it says, "And I will bless them that bless thee." Isn't that wonderful? "And curse him that curses thee." Notice it didn't say curse them. It says curse him. Because it's not of them we're fighting. It's not flesh and blood. Isn't that something? See, we're going to go about the blessings. We get it all. Isn't that wonderful individually? But when that curse happens, we understand it's just the enemy. See, they can't do anything against that truth. That serpent tried to do what he tried to do there, the enemy, to Adam and Eve. Well, that was just the plan of God. You're following exactly what I need you to do. Thank you. Well, let me get at Job. Okay. Here you go. I needed you for that. Thank you. Isn't that something? Okay. Even for that day of evil. He knows exactly what he needs. All right, so going back to chapter 13, let's get into verse 9. "For we are glad," that means rejoice, "when we are weak and ye are strong. So again, he's rejoicing in that weakness in Christ because he knows that that's the very power of Christ that rests upon him at that time. And ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Now remember how we rejoiced in chapter 12, where was that? In verse 9, where it said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And we saw that that perfect was the same word as telio. Well, this one isn't. This is a different word for this perfect. And this perfect doesn't mean, in a sense, of that finish accomplishment of crying victory. This is talking about completion. Allowing the completion to happen in your life. See, Paul wanted them to have that complete perfection in their life. And that was the maturing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ growing up into them in all things. Praise God. "Therefore I write these things," in verse 10, "being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness." That sharpness means to cut. So praise God, I'm sure that Paul was a little bit relieved here. "I'm writing these things." But I'll tell you what, if you're going to still be in the way that you are, when I get present with you, I'm telling you, I'm going to use sharpness. And here's the sharpest thing I know how to use, and it's going to cut. You know, I'm not going to just hit you about the head and shoulders, as they say. This thing's going to cut. And praise God, it cuts deep. "According to the power which the Lord hath given me." And notice, it was a gift to him. It wasn't anything that he deserved or anything of that nature. It's according to the power which the Lord hath given me. It's by grace. Paul acknowledges this all the way through. It was nothing of himself. It was just a gift of God. Hallelujah. And here's this gift of power that was given to this brother that hath given to me to what? For edification for you. Edification and not to destruction. And that word edify again means to promote spiritual growth. It means to build up. And the only way that will ever be used when God, again, is using us to edify one another, it's going to be truth in love. It's going to be truth in love. You can't have one without the other for edification. It has to be both. Truth in love, we grow up into Him in all things. It's the word of His grace that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. See, truth and love and the word of His grace, it's the same difference. Because you have the word, which is the truth, and the grace is the wonderful love of God alive and living in our lives. It's both. Just like Brother Hill used to say so many times about whether it was the fundamentalist or the Pentecostal. And again, I have people come at me many times and say, "Well, you're Pentecostal, aren't you?" "Well, are you fundamental? Or are you?" "Well, I just kind of love the Lord." But he'd say about that fundamentalist, he said, you know, you get into that and you have all the word. If you have nothing else, you just dry up. And you will. And you've met people like that. They're just in the word. And it's like, oh my goodness. Just like it just get dry all the time that way. And then you got the people that are all full of spirit all the time. All spirit, in a sense, they blow up, right? So you got one that dries up, you got one that blows up, and you get them together, he said, and you grow up. That's the thing. It's that moderation that the wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the moderation of always having truth in love. Truth in love. So, in that, these brothers and sisters here in Corinth can grow up. Now he says here in verse 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell." This doesn't mean goodbye. A lot of people think, okay, he's leaving town. Nope, that's not what this meant. Nope, the word of God remains forever. It's there, and it's there. Hallelujah. This means rejoice. Rejoice in the hope. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. Take it. And look what he says here. Let's pay attention as we close this out. "Be perfect." Now, here we go again. Now, that's a, and I'll tell you what, that's a pretty high thing to say. Be perfect. My goodness, I quit saying that in high school. But the Lord caused this brother to say, be perfect. And you know what? It's a different word again from perfection over there. Now we got another meaning of this wondrous word. And this word perfect here It goes on to say, this is God's very purpose to make perfect, to fulfill even further. Isn't this wonderful? Well, what's he talking about? Well, let's read on, and I think it explains itself. Be perfect. And here is how it's done. Be of good comfort. Oh, praise God, be of good cheer. It is I. Isn't that wonderful? You hear that? It's Jesus. Be about the things of our Lord and Savior. Be of one mind. Seek unity in the Spirit. Not unity in everybody's going to hold hands and have a candle. Come on. I have nothing against the holding hands and things like that. If the Lord leads, don't get me wrong. But you know where I'm going with that. I'm talking about one mind, and that's the mind of Christ. That's the only mind that we're to aspire after. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So being perfect is of that good comfort. Seeking the God of all comfort. Being perfect is having that one mind, His mind. Being perfect is live in peace. Well, I think I remember a wondrous verse that said, a mind that is stayed upon Him is kept in perfect peace. It's not a mind that tries to go garnering all the information and knowledge from all of these other things, that's searching all the philosophy. Well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to study this religion and this one and this one and this one. You're kind of one-dimensional, Jesse. Let me tell you something. He is so beyond dimensional. You can't even imagine. It's all in Him. His dummies. Live in peace. Isn't that wonderful? And the God of love. Now here's the benefit of it. Isn't this wonderful? And the God of love. He's a God of love. I think what this old world and the enemy has so many people saying about God. Well, if God did this, and how could that be a God? He's a God of love, and don't you forget it. He's a God of love, and peace shall be with you. Now, in reading that, I think about, and again, Mother used to tell me this often, son, the Lord sees the proud afar off. I don't want Him seeing me afar off. Lord, I want You right there. Right there. And it's not like I'm looking at the one eye that's scaring me. It's right there. It's that face that I feel real comfortable. I'm at peace, like it says here. I see that mind, that unity with You, Lord. But You're a God of love, praise God, and You're a God of peace. And He sees the proud afar off. And in James 4:8 it says, draw nigh unto Him and He'll draw nigh unto you. Okay? He's there for us, praise God. And we want that drawing with the Lord. Now verse 12 is a big one here as well too. Greet one another with a holy kiss. My goodness. Is that why we kiss one another once in a while in here? Now, again, I will say this. If somebody is not comfortable, don't do that. Don't. We don't want to. And again, this is holy. It wasn't just a kiss. It was a holy kiss. We kiss one another in the meeting. We hug one another in the meeting. You best be knowing you're hugging a child of the King. That is your brother and sister in Christ. You're honoring the Lord. I mean, that's the Lord. You're the Lord's. I'm the Lord's. And if someone feels uncomfortable that way, you pray. But don't let your liberty stumble. That's the same difference. I hope you understand that. There's some people that don't want that. Now, for your own life, I tell you, you should desire that. You should. Okay? No, because it's the Word of God. Greet one another with a holy kiss. What that is showing our love in sincerity and truth. And brothers and sisters, we do need to break up the frost. And I think the Lord has done a wondrous job. It's the Lord that encourages that. And I believe in this meeting the Lord has really been doing that. It's wonderful. I know I can speak of that in my own life. The love of God, how it's increasing at an increasing rate. It just keeps expanding. But I do know that we need to let others know that we love them. And praise God, this is a way that we know and show one another that we love one another. And I know that there are Christians that I know that have a great knowledge of the truth. Great knowledge. But in my heart, I do and desire them in the Lord to be more loving. I'm thankful to God that you're a loving people. Be thankful to God that you're a loving people. That's what wins. It's the love of God. People knew they were Christians because of their knowledge. Because they carried a Bible? They knew they were Christians because of their love one for another. I know you're Christians. I know you love one another. Praise God. All right. All the saints salute you. Isn't that wonderful? He's saying they embrace you. We embrace you in that wonderful body. We're for you. We want people to know that we're truly praying for them. I think about different ones that I know many times Brother Ty has different ones and all of you that we pray for. I hope that we would pray for them. They're our family. Praise God that the Lord would encourage those lives. And then verse 14, so wonderful how it's finished up here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now this is wondrous because this is the Trinity. He leaves us off with the Godhead. Isn't that wonderful? Here we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, praise God, there's the love of God. And then, can you imagine, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So let's just get rid of the Jesus only thought. And now we're bringing in what God has here. He's got a Godhead, all in His Son, but absolutely it's a Trinity. It's grace, love, and a Spirit-full life. Isn't that wonderful? So you think about this in closing, brothers and sisters. In order for a church ever to be set in order, and ever in order for you to ever receive correction and to accept correction, you need grace, you need that love, and you need communion of the Holy Ghost in your life. It's all by grace, brothers and sisters. And grace, as we've read and rejoiced in many times before, grace is the love of God alive and working in our lives. That's the grace of God, that God would allow His love to come into our lives and work in us. And how is that love shed abroad in our heart? By the Holy Ghost. And in Romans 5:5, let's turn there and we'll close with that verse. That's Romans 5:5. And I hope this will just thrill you as you go home tonight, that you can't quit talking about it. Because it's saying the same thing right here. And hope maketh not ashamed. Well, hope right there, Jesus. Praise God, Jesus is your hope. Praise the Lord, that's your Jesus. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And I'll just leave you with this. That word abroad, it means to gush out. And you'll notice there, as we read, it's communion of the Holy Ghost. Big difference than communion with the Holy Ghost. A lot of people try to pray to the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? It's kind of a big thing now. Need something different again. Come on now. It's all in the name of Jesus, isn't it? We approach God how? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That communion of the Holy Ghost is very specific. And the reason is because the Holy Ghost takes the things of Christ and He makes them ours. He's there to give us the things of Christ. It's so wonderful, brothers and sisters, that He's giving this to us. And in giving this to us, He's giving us the very love of God, which is the very grace of God. And it's allowing to be shed, to gush out of our lives. And that was the message to these Corinthians. This is what will correct it. This is what will achieve the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus in your life. It's grace. It's love. And we need that spirit-full life in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.